Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Fast Growing Trees. Did you know Fast Growing Trees is America's largest and most trusted online nursery with thousands of trees and plants and over 2 million happy customers? They have all the plants your yard or home needs, including fruit trees, privacy trees, flowering trees, shrubs, and houseplants, all grown with care and guaranteed to arrive healthy. Whatever you're looking for, Fast Growing Trees helps you find options that actually work for your climate, space, and lifestyle. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to get your dream yard. Just click, order, and grow, and get healthy, thriving plants delivered to your door. I have some vague memory that, like, even our concept of the difference between, like, a tree and a bush is just a subjective judgment, and it's actually not, like, it's not, like, biological what a tree is versus what a bush is.
Yeah. It's like, you know a tree when it's really tall. But if it's in the neighborhood of bush,
right?
That's hard.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't say anything. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to get your dream yard. To click, order, and grow, and get healthy, thriving plants delivered to your door. Their Alive and Thrive guarantee promises that your plants arrive happy and healthy. No green thumb required. Just quality plants you can count on. Get your yard right, and you'll be in the neighborhood of bush. You know, they got their plant experts. They can help you plan your landscape. Choose the right plants. And learn how to care for them every step of the way. We love fast-growing trees. It's a great way to get stuff for your yard, get plants for your house, for your office. We have a lot of fast-growing trees, plants here at Crooked, and they're great. You can trust them. They can help you get your yard looking good. And spring is here. It's the best time to plant. So they have great deals on spring planting essentials, up to half off on select plants. And listeners to our show get 20% off their first purchase when they use the code LOVEIT at checkout. That's an additional 20% off better plants and better growing at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code LOVEIT at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code LOVEIT. Now's the perfect time to plant. Let's grow together. Use LOVEIT to save today. Our offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
Stephen Colbert here with Becca, my producer, talking about the new Odyssey. Odyssey? Did you say Odyssey?
Odyssey.
Odyssey. The new Odyssey. Sounds like you're from Boston. You're saying Odyssey. Odyssey. The new Odyssey podcast. The Odyssey app. It's for free, and you can get it and listen to your podcasts on the Odyssey app.
Including The Late Show Pod Show with you, Stephen Colbert.
Follow and listen to The Late Show Pod Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, Los Angeles? Welcome to Love It or Leave It Live from the UCB Theater. We've never done the show here before. Very exciting. We've got a great show for you tonight. Maria Bamford is here. Utkarsh Ambudkar is here. Nico Santos is here. We'll be talking about some intrusive thoughts and hopeful news. Then, the return of the Egg of Truth. And of course, we'll wrap it up with a round of second thoughts. But first, let's get into it. What a week. Infighting. Well, you know what that sound means. There's a political party in America that's collapsing under the weight of its internal contradictions, political failures, and long simmering resentments. And twist, it's the Republicans. For once. Yes, the girls are fighting, and if we think it's bad now, just wait for the live reunion episode at The Hague. On Tuesday, Joe Kent, a high-ranking counterterrorism official, resigned in protest, writing, "I cannot in good conscience support the ongoing war in Iran. Iran posed no imminent threat to our nation." Oh, you're trying to use your good conscience in the Trump administration? No, no, you got to let that demon out, said a completely nude Lindsey Graham. Prancing around the Situation Room while watching bombs fall on Tehran, set to Robins Dancing on My Own. Trump reacted to Kent's resignation on Tuesday.
Well, I read his statement. I always thought he was a nice guy, but I always thought he was weak on security, very weak on security. I didn't know him well, but I thought he seemed like a pretty nice guy.
So Trump nominated a guy he always thought was weak on security to lead the National Counterterrorism Center. Why? What was he tough on? Stains? But before you put this guy on your No Kings poster, this Kent is my Superman, that kind of thing, Be aware, he has ties to white nationalists and he has long embraced anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. As the saying goes, a broken clock is right twice a day, even if the clock broke because it was hurled through the window of a synagogue. Kent even has a tattoo, and this is true, of a German Panzer tank. And in this case, that Nazi tattoo is unforgivable. In the wake of Kent's resignation, Trump's director of national intelligence and person who seems like they could do a hit and run and then immediately go surfing, Tulsi Gabbard, testified at a Senate intelligence hearing. Here's Senator Mark Warner grilling Gabbard on why her oral testimony and written testimony were different.
In your printed testimony today on page 6, as a result of Operation Midnight Hammer, Iran's nuclear enrichment program was obliterated. There's been no efforts to try to rebuild their enrichment capability. You omitted that paragraph from your oral opening. Was that because the president said there was an imminent threat 2 weeks?
No, sir. I recognized that the time was running long, and I skipped through some of the portions
so you chose
of my remarks.
You chose
sir.
To omit the parts that contradict the president.
It's true. She omitted that to avoid contradicting the president. But also, the president contradicted the president. If you say Iran's nuclear program wasn't obliterated, you are contradicting the president. But if you say Iran's nuclear program was obliterated, you are also contradicting the president who claims Iran is an ongoing and immediate nuclear threat. It's quite the minefield for Gabbard. Might as well just send her through the Strait of Hormuz. Instead of giving a clear answer, by the way, at some point during the run-through today, Sarah, one of the writers, was like, hey, Strait of Hormuz seems to be a punchline 3 times. And I was like, oh, we need to sprinkle in more Strait of Hormuz. I actually think you could develop a, like, tool where the frequency of discussion of the Strait of Hormuz lets you know how destabilized the planet is, right? Like, the less you're thinking about the Strait of Hormuz, the safer a moment of time. Now, instead of giving a clear answer to whether the intelligence community thought that Iran posed an imminent threat, Gabbard claimed that only Donald Trump could make that determination.
Is it the assessment of the intelligence community that there was a, quote, imminent nuclear threat posed by the Iranian regime, yes or no?
Senator, the only person who can determine what is and is not an imminent threat is the president.
False.
It is not the intelligence community's responsibility to determine what is and is not an imminent threat.
Okay.
That is up to
here's,
the president
the
based on a volume
no,
of
it
information
is, it is precisely,
that he receives.
It is precisely your responsibility to determine what constitutes a threat to the United States.
Intelligence community can't be responsible for determining what is and isn't a threat. That would distract them from their core mission, doing coups in Latin America. Speaking of what goes on below the equator, many of us discovered that there was an ongoing feud this week when former Fox News host and current person who angrily says, finally, when grabbing her sushi from the Uber Eats driver, Megyn Kelly, posted this about conservative host Mark Levin. And here's the quote from Megyn Kelly. Micropenis Mark thinks he has the monopoly on lewd. He tweets about me obsessively in the crudest, nastiest terms possible, literally more than some stalkers I've had arrested. He doesn't like it when women like me fight back because of his micropenis. Yikes. Don't coffee Megyn before she's had her micropenis. This was in response to an insulting post by Levin about Megyn over her criticism of Trump's war in Iran. Trump then came to Mark's defense, posting that Levin was under siege by other people with far less intellect, capability, and love for their country. Trump added that Mark Levin's penis was, quote, within the normal human range. Marjorie Taylor Greene then tagged in to say, quote, I wholeheartedly support Megyn Kelly telling the world that Mark Levin has a micropenis. For too long, she sat idly by while bad faith actors falsely claimed that Mark Levin was working with a real womb broom down there. Speaking of dicks, J.D. Vance is also caught in the middle of this MAGA civil war.
I like it. Past skepticism of foreign adventurism. Are you completely on board with the current war in Iran?
I know what you're trying to do, Phil. You're trying to drive a wedge between members of the administration, between me and the president. What the president said consistently, going back to 2015, and I agreed with him, is that Iran should not have a nuclear weapon.
Now, Vance never actually says that he's completely on board, and we've seen leaks saying that Vance was actually opposed to the strikes in Iran, but sorry, man. You can't have it both ways. It's like going to the Cheesecake Factory and ordering from the Skinnylicious menu. It's stupid. You're not fooling anybody. And either way, your Strait of Hormuz is all clogged up. Okay. Stupid Skinnylicious menu. Get that out of here. It's not why I'm here. I came here to fuck. All right. Absent public support, Trump claimed twice that in private, a former president told him that he wished he'd been the one to attack Iran.
I've spoken to a certain president who I like, actually, a past president, former president. He said, I wish I did it. I wish I did. But they didn't do it. I'm doing it. Yeah.
Which president?
I can't tell you that. I don't want to embarrass him. It would be very bad for his career, even though he's got no career left.
That's someone he likes. There are only four living presidents, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, Barack Obama, and Joe Biden. Jimmy Carter is technically dead, though he's trapped in a liminal space between this world and the next because he has unfinished business sleeping with a second woman. After Trump repeated this claim, Peter Ducey tried to get him to say which president he'd spoken with.
Just want to ask you about something very interesting that you said twice today, that you talked to another former president
yeah,
about the Iran strikes.
I did.
Was it George W. Bush?
No.
Was it Bill Clinton?
I don't want to say.
So funny. By the way, if you want to know how you end up in a war in Iran where you have the president begging NATO to help him after the fact, he didn't figure out that he was in a trap until the second question. Do you see that? Was it George W. Bush? No. Was it Bill Clinton? Oh, fuck. I just was at a funeral with all these guys, and there's not that many fucking guys. But then people close to all four living presidents denied that any of them had had a recent conversation with Trump. So is Trump just making it up? Possibly he does that. But there was also this Atlantic story about how Trump's personal phone number has been widely circulated and he'll answer a call from basically anybody. Which does raise the possibility that someone is catfishing Donald Trump with an AI version of Bill Clinton and telling Trump through AI Bill Clinton to bomb Iran? Or is Daryl Hammond an agent of Mossad? And I don't want to speculate. Yes, he is. Trump also spent the week angrily posting about how mad he is that none of our European allies have been willing to join the conflict while also claiming we don't need any help because it's going so good. Here's the thing. You gotta ask your allies if they're down for the war before you start the war. You can't hire a getaway driver when the bank robbery is underway and the cops have already blocked off the Strait of Hormuz. Trump's international charm offensive continued on Thursday when he met with the Prime Minister of Japan at the White House and a Japanese reporter asked this.
Why didn't you tell US allies in Europe and Asia, like Japan, about the war before attacking Iran? So we are very confused about we Japanese citizens.
Well, one thing you don't want to signal too much, you know, when we go in, we went in very hard and we didn't tell anybody about it because we wanted surprise. Who knows better about surprise than Japan? Okay? Why didn't you tell me about Pearl Harbor? Okay?
First of all, J.D. Vance can't do that. come on. That's fucking top tier, 10 out of 10. You know, Trump's staff put together a prep doc for him, and the doc was just one note card, all caps, do not bring up Pearl Harbor.
Ha ha ha!
So Trump has alienated our allies and a lot of his base over the war. Meanwhile, he's putting pressure on Senate Republicans to pass his voter ID law, which does not have enough Republican votes to pass. But look, sometimes as hard as you push, you can't get her there, said Mark Levin. Republicans also can't agree on Trump's nominees, like Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, who is his pick to replace Kristi Noem as the head of the Department of Homeland Security. And it's not an easy job. Mullen has some pretty big Corey Lewandowski's holes to fill. This led to my favorite Republican feud of the week, non-micropenis category, which is Senator Rand Paul, Mullen's colleague on this committee, the Homeland Security Committee, tore into Mullen for comments Mullen made joking about Paul's 2017 assault by his neighbor.
Tell it to my face. If that's what you believe, tell it to me today. Tell the world why you believe I deserve to be assaulted from behind, have six ribs broken and a damaged lung. Tell me to my face why you think I deserved it. And while you're at it, explain to the American public why they should trust a man with anger issues to set the proper example for ICE and Border Patrol agents.
I obviously don't think Mullen is the right person to lead DHS, but Paul is making, unfortunately, a pretty strong case for why Mullen is the right person to lead Trump's DHS. Besides, this is America. Basically, men with anger issues are the only people we trust to run things. We barely let Ellen be mean. But just wait until you hear what Senator Joni Ernst had to say.
I hope that the president is watching. I am going to say to the president, I am really upset that he has made your nomination.
At which point, Mark Wayne Mullen pulls up a folding chair above his head as Joni Ernst continues.
Because I will be losing from the Senate one of the best friends that I have here.
At which point he opens the chair as if he were setting it up for someone. Look at, did you just awe that? Fuck you. What the fuck is that? So that's where we're at. MAGA is melting down. Gas prices are through the roof. Republicans are at each other's throats. And no one feels more betrayed than Trump's own voters, which is why we will give one Trump voter the final word tonight.
If you could say something to President Trump and he was going to hear you right now, what would it be?
You are a worthless pile of
And you voted for him how many times?
Three times. That was my bad. Apparently, I'm an idiot.
No, babe. We love you. We're obsessed. We'll see you at Crooked Con. All right. And we will be right back with Maria Bamford.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Stamps.com. It's staggering that to this very day, many small business owners are still making post office runs or are stuck with expensive postage meter leases. It's 2026. Enough. Mail and ship when you want, how you want with Stamps.com. Basta! To the expensive postage meters. We say basta. We say basta. That is a very old reference to the 2007 to 2008 Clinton Obama primary.
Wow.
With stamps.com, you can send from your computer or phone 24/7. No long lines, no low supply, open anytime, print postage on demand, get up to 90% off carrier rates like FedEx, UPS, and USPS. Schedule carrier pickups right from your door and get carrier compliant labels every time. No errors, no rejected mail, no wasted trips. It's perfect for your business. Send certified mail, get document tracking to confirm delivery and analytics to make sure you know exactly what you've sent and spent. For almost 30 years, millions of customers have relied on stamps.com to make mailing and shipping faster and simple. We use stamps.com to mail stuff at Crooked, merch, especially when we were first getting started. Stamps.com is one of those tools that just makes sense. You can save time, money, and you don't have to leave your home or office. Why wouldn't you do it? Right now, you can try stamps.com risk-free for 60 days. Go to stamps.com and use code LOVEIT to get 60 days risk-free. 60 days gives you plenty of time to see exactly how much money and time you're saving on every shipment. That's stamps.com, code LOVEIT. That's stamps.com, code LOVEIT. This episode is presented by Planned Parenthood Federation of America. Planned Parenthood Health Centers are the nation's leading provider of sexual and reproductive health care, including cancer screenings, wellness exams, STI testing and treatments, birth control, abortion, and more. Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to providing access to care, information, and resources people need to make their own decisions about their bodies and futures. But the Trump administration and Congress defunded Planned Parenthood Health Centers in a dangerous attempt to cut off affordable access for millions, especially in medically underserved communities where Planned Parenthood Health Centers are often the only option for care. People across the U.S. are struggling just to make ends meet. Planned Parenthood has never and will never stop fighting for everyone's fundamental right to quality, affordable health care, regardless of who you are or where you live, no matter what. They need supporters like you in the fight. We all know that Republicans have been targeting Planned Parenthood. They target Planned Parenthood because they want to target access to family planning and abortion wherever they can. But of course, we all know that Planned Parenthood doesn't just provide abortion services. They provide a ton of needed health care for people in their communities. Donate at PlannedParenthood.org/defend. That's PlannedParenthood.org/defend. And we're back. All right. We have 1 month to go until Love It or Leave It is at the Lincoln Theater on April 23rd in D.C. It's a tradition during White House Correspondents' Dinner weekend. It is always a really fun show. We have some awesome guests lined up. We're really excited for the show. We're going to announce the guests probably next week, which point maybe too late to get tickets. Too late. So if you're in D.C., tickets are on sale at crooked.com/events. And if you can't join in D.C., come to the show in L.A. every week. Dates for there are also right there at crooked.com/events. And there is a new episode of Polar Coaster, which just dropped. It's Friends of the Pod. Go give it a listen. And if you're not subscribed yet, you are missing out on Dan's polling analysis. Subscribers also unlock a bunch of other content just for subscribers. Terminally Online, our loosest show, Pod Save America, Only Friends, Open Tabs, which is a peek behind the scenes of Pod Save America, written by our editor, Reed. Subscribe and you help build this progressive, independent, pro-democracy media company. It really does do a lot. So sign up. Thank you. Crooked.com/friends. All right. Yeah. My first guest is your favorite comedian's favorite comedian and the subject of Judd Apatow's new documentary, Paralyzed by Hope, the Maria Bamford story. It's Maria Bamford. Hi. Thanks for being here.
Nice to see you. Thank you for having me on the show. No, oh God. I'm making too much of a meal of it. How are you?
So good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. What a delight.
Hey, what's it like being a documentary subject?
Well, I thought it might be exhausting because I'm an introvert. And what they do is they follow you around with the camera for years. And so I said to myself, how can I get paid to do this? And so that was part of the whole reason I did it was half the documentary is me trying to get paid. At least in my opinion. It was,
And it was filmed for 4 years?
4 years. 4 years. Well, and that it's very Los Angeles type thing where they go, oh my God, we have this great idea. And then maybe something happens with it or maybe not. And so I wanted to have a little bit of cash in exchange for all that time. Because it was a documentary, but also they'd say, hey, could we take that again from the beginning? Wait a minute. Show business. Yeah. So, but it was like tons of fun. And I'm extremely grateful. But again, yeah, I'm in the back nine of life. I don't want to spend any more time in front of a camera unless I'm being paid.
Now, in the documentary, Conan describes you as a lobster who's been taken out of her shell, but still feeling everything. Does that feel true to you?
I think he's, I mean, much respect, all honor, and maybe he's projecting? I feel like I'm tough as nails. I have a bit of a tremor, and I have a high voice, so people often think, oh, is something wrong? It's not really, or at least I feel pretty good. So, you know, maybe they're seeing something I don't, but I think I'm a hog, like a strong hog.
Yeah, hogs are really tough. They're resilient. They're very smart. The feral ones, they'll eat anything.
Yeah.
They'll eat a garden hose. They'll be like delicious.
Yep.
I wish there was more garden hose at this restaurant.
Yeah. Put me in a confinement system. I'll eat everything you want me to eat.
I'm that way too. That's something that we have in common. Put me in a confinement system. I'll eat what you want me to eat. I'm always saying that. So funny that you said that that way. But it's interesting. I actually did want to ask you about this because you have this, and you talk about this in the movie too, which is you're someone who a lot of your stand-up historically has been about like, just the challenges of life, the challenges inside your own brain.
Yeah.
And yet you're extremely successful. You're like, you have the, but you are, you're very successful and you have the confidence to do what only you could do, which speaks to a strength as well. So I wonder if there's like a way in which you feel like a contradiction there about being kind of a mess, but also a huge success.
Yeah, I think also my mental health issues are very low grade, like I'm bipolar 2, which is, you know, I don't have the experience of psychosis. I haven't had, was able to hold down full-time jobs and stuff when I wasn't working in showbiz. Now, I'm also in show business. Personalities that are bizarre or seem on the edge are okay. I know when I worked in corporate America, people would be like, everything okay with their kid? You know, I didn't rise through the ranks of corporate America.
You're kidding. You hit the glass ceiling.
I hit some sort of ceiling. I
know. Was it clear? How clear was it? Was it foggy, translucent, mirrored? Was it smoky? What kind of glass ceiling are we talking about?
Well, I think I just didn't want to go through it. I sat beneath it and pondered. Wondering, I wasn't very success oriented. I'm not sure. I'm grateful. I have plenty of success. I had a TV show. Everything that's I've ever wanted has happened, except for what's the next thing? Figure skating.
Yeah. Boy, we're gonna. I'm excited for that phase.
Right. I've seen a lot. I'm getting a lot of memes on my Insta about figure skating as an older person. I'm in.
Can I tell you something that I secretly believe, a thought that I've never said out loud?
Okay.
I don't think they can count how many times people are going around up there. It's too fast. No, for sure. 4. I believe you. What?
No.
Come on.
That is,
grow up.
Yeah. That's a fair point. I don't know. The documentary, I don't know if it's sold. It's not yet available on streaming services. So now it's just in festivals.
Huh. That's fun.
I don't know. Yeah. Why did I feel the need to tell you that? Does anybody want to buy it? Jon Apatow spent a lot of money.
Trying to understand, you finished 3 years of the filming the documentary, and he's like, I almost got it. We got to get one more year out of you.
This is the hilarious, the guy who's shooting it, lovely Neil Berkeley. He's done so many beautiful documentaries. He kept asking throughout, he would say, as he was watching my life unfold, would say, God, what is this about? Hey, Neil, it's very existential, and I get it. I'm living this, but it was hilarious.
In the doc, your dad cried the first time he heard you do an impression of him. Is that right?
Yeah, my dad, I did an impersonation of my mom, who she still talks from heaven, and guess what heaven is? It's the Delta Sky Club in Atlanta. So it's a little hot and crowded. But my dad got jealous and was like, oh, you're doing an impersonation. Poppy, of your dad, huh? And then I did it. And he cried. I said, what are you, pussy? No. I think it is really scary to have somebody do an impersonation of you to yourself. I've had people do impersonations of me to my face, and you're like, I know that's what I sound like. Have you had that where somebody does an impersonation?
You know, only in anger. Only in anger, never with love. So something to hope for. So it's hard to separate the feeling of it from the impression, from the intent of the impression, which was to harm. You know? Because my friends and I used to have a saying, which was, I'm just being hurtful.
Oh.
Which is like, no, it's not true. It's not true. Yeah. I'm just being hurtful.
Yeah.
Right? That's why I said it. It's not a mean thing. I said, don't worry about it. I'm just being hurtful.
Yeah.
Because the real things that hurt are the things when they're not trying to be hurtful. You know, that's why when you hear somebody's talking about you behind your back, you're like, my God.
Yeah.
That's what they think of me?
Or it's something that it's like a given. It's like, yeah, I know. I know that's, you know. But yeah, I'm not always for that when people say, oh, I'm just kidding. Oh, I'm just kicking. I'm just kicking you. You know, I mean, why not get violent? I'm sorry. Yes.
Do you have, a lot of this is about how beloved you are as a comedian.
Yes.
Is there advice you have that you would give an up-and-coming, extremely talented comedian who might feel like they're kind of unusual in a way that makes it a little harder for less, more usual people to see it, you know?
Well, I mean, there's always, I'm my biggest fan. So even if nobody likes what I do, I think I'm fucking hilarious. So that's a pretty tight market. You know, if I can sell stuff to this person, just keep going. If you enjoy what you're doing and believe in it, then keep going. Now, there's, of course, no guarantee, and that's the sad thing, because there's certainly barriers. I really hate it in Los Angeles. Somebody goes, you know, I made a vision board, and it's crazy because I'm directing a short, and it's like, like, that's not going to happen for everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you give some people make vision boards in a poor area of Appalachia, they're just going to have a lot more hurdles to go through, even if they have cut out a picture of an Emmy and pasted it on a piece of cardboard. You know, just.
And don't do it for, and wherever you're from, don't do it for the Emmys.
Emmys. Here's a lesson from a vision board workshop. Once I was at one in Los Feliz, and there were hundreds of magazines, and we ran out of Emmys and Academy Awards. And isn't that a lesson for us all?
And I bet you didn't run out of scientists. Something to think about. Now, one last question before we get to the game. So you've talked about having intrusive thoughts, about it in the doc.
Yes, intrusive
thoughts, sure. Classic, serial killing, cannibalizing your family. Do you still have them?
No. Well, I had them as a child. I don't know where they came from, but I mean, I think everybody has them in terms of you have them for a second and then you just go, oh, that was weird. And then you move on. But if you have an OCD tendency, then you kind of go, oh, God. And then you start doing things like gripping your hands at odd intervals and driving your car around the block to make sure you didn't hit a nun. That is the fun thing about OCD is hearing people's very specific fears.
Mine are more like if a phone call drops, I assume there's been a 9/11 of some kind.
Oh, there's been a death?
There's been
a mass death. So
usually it's like, oh, the earthquake has already begun where the part of town they're in,
okay.
And I'm about to feel a Mexico City 10-point earthquake, but nobody knows yet. And so their building's already down, dead.
Okay.
Pancake. No triangle of life for them.
Okay.
And I feel it really vividly. And again, as everybody knows, I'm too busy to be in therapy right now, but I'm so busy. So,
right.
But everyone on the other side of the phone call is dead.
Well, and you know, as long as that doesn't keep you from living your life, you know, seriously, I mean, if it doesn't bug you that much, you know, if it doesn't stop you from, you know, oh God, I got to check if that person really didn't die in a terrible earthquake with 1,000 other people.
I just call them back.
You just call back.
And usually they're there.
Or they text.
Or they text. which is why it's time for a segment we're calling The Glass is Half Full of Intrusive Thoughts.
Woo!
And here's how it works. I'm going to offer you an actually intrusive thought I've had. And Maria, you will reply with something you find hopeful about it. Mm-hmm. I will also read you a bit of hopeful news from the week, and you'll just share what intrusive thought has sparked.
Okay.
All right.
Got it.
Here's something that I have an intrusive thought about all the time. The digital footprint I've created will outlive me, and therefore will ultimately be more of what I was than what I was offline. That the digital me is more me than the real me.
Okay, and the hopeful thought is... what a way to go. oh my God, I've died, but I haven't. Right. Or really, the best parts of me live on. And I mean, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it seems awesome.
Yeah. An Icelandic firefighter came up with a plan to steer his homeland's lava rivers away from important Icelandic landmarks. This hero, who is 6'5", is known as Iceland's lava cooling manager. He's saved whole towns.
Oh my gosh. And did you know that some people don't eat crushed ice because it seems as if they're eating baby bones?
On Sunday, the Sinner's director of photography, Autumn Dorald Arkapau, became the first woman to win an Oscar for Best Cinematography.
Oh, isn't that nice? Well, if sometimes this one guy kept thinking that his penis was getting smaller, and so he kept having to check to see if it was getting smaller, and people thought he was a sex offender, when in fact he just had OCD. And he was just taking off his pants because he had to know whether it was getting smaller in public places.
It's spring, glorious spring, and we're younger than we'll ever be again.
Okay. Don't leave me alone with your dog. That's my fear, right?
You'll be alone with the dog.
Don't be alone with the dog because you don't know, that's the fear. You don't want to be left alone with any sort of helpless animal because you're somehow dangerous or evil.
Oh, wow.
Whatever it is. Yeah, people, it's real.
Here's my intrusive thought. I was voted off Survivor's 47 because of a fundamentally unsolvable problem with my personality.
Or were you given the true gift of being fired, which always creates a sense of relief and escape and a high, I want to say. So, yeah. Because were you truly bummed that you got taken off?
Yes. And, well, absolutely. Devastated. But I will say, everyone, I think, should go through a zero-stakes worst-case scenario, right? Because getting voted off first was my worst-case scenario. The stakes were actually quite low, right? Like, there are all kinds of worst-case scenarios that are very high stakes that you don't want. But to have to, like, go into something where you're like, okay, this is the best outcome, this is the worst outcome, and have the worst outcome happen to you, and then you're like, here I am. Like, you're okay, you know?
Yeah, no, you keep living and breathing, and I did a benefit for a schizophrenic research, and turns out the people who hire you for benefits are big fans. The people they are trying to get money from are not. And I went somewhere in Napa Valley to try to make a bunch of conservatives laugh. And it's a terrible, terrible mistake. The comic brought me up with, is everybody ready to have a good time? And it was so awful. It was quiet for about 10 minutes. Then women started clapping me off because they thought I was done. I had to explain to these bitches, I got 45 more minutes. Now we're all suffering on behalf of schizophrenia research, which is very funny when you think about it in retrospect. But yeah, no, it was my worst, like, oh, this is for a good cause, and I'm here, and I'm here to help. And it's like, people are like, you have ruined. But then Howie Mandel was there at the end, and so people all perked up.
Yeah, he'll bring it home for you up there now.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you don't have to. You're not at the schizophrenia gala in Napa, and you can go see Maria Bamford. Go to mariabamford.com for tickets to see her live and Paralyzed by Hope.
Yeah.
Coming to a film festival near you.
And if you live in Highland Park, I do a show every Tuesday at 9 a.m. I bring free donuts. Everybody's welcome. You don't have to have the money, but it's $25 if you can to give to the theater, Outside In Theater in Highland Park, which is a nonprofit.
That's great. Maria Bamford, everybody. We'll be right back.
Yay! Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Surfshark. Using the internet today without a VPN is like leaving your front door wide open and just hoping nobody wanders in. Every website you visit, every video you watch, every random late night search, it's all being tracked. And then somehow you search one thing and suddenly you're being followed around the internet by ads for the rest of your life. It's unsettling, but that's where Surfshark comes in. Surfshark VPN encrypts your internet connection and hides your real IP address so your online activity stays private. Whether you're at home or on a sketchy public Wi-Fi at an airport, hotel, or cafe, your data is protected. No more broadcasting information to whoever happens to be on the same network. Surfshark VPN also lets you change your virtual location with a single click, which means your physical location doesn't dictate what you can access online. Surfshark's clean web feature blocks ads, trackers, and malware before they even load. They've even got tools like an email breach checker and scam alert feature. And the best part, one account covers unlimited devices, laptop, phone, tablet, smart TV, all protected, no juggling subscriptions. Everybody should have a VPN, especially if you travel and you are on random Wi-Fi networks all the time. It's you're gambling. Let's say 9 times out of 10, there's nothing to worry about, but you never know that you're on a random network that's been compromised in some way, that's downloading stuff, that's like breaching your computer in some way. So it's just safety, especially like if you're not using your, you know, home Wi-Fi all the time. Go to surfshark.com/loveit or use code loveit at checkout to get an extra 4 months. That's surfshark.com/loveit. Code loveit. There's also a 30-day money-back guarantee, so it's completely risk-free. Close the digital front door with Surfshark VPN. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Spring is in the air, and while you're checking off organizational tasks on your spring cleaning to-do list, it's important not to forget about yourself. Therapy offers a space to slow down and stretch out when your mind feels overwhelmed with clutter. Spring clean your mind, John.
Spring clean your mind.
BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct.
Get a broom going up there.
Get those dust mites. Take those sweaters off the shelves.
Clear up the cobwebs.
Strict code of conduct from these therapists, fully licensed in the U.S. BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and their 12-plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recs. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally, and it works with an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on over 1.7 million client reviews. Your emotional well-being matters. Find support and feel lighter in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/loveit. That's better, HELP.com/loveit. And we're back. Please welcome to the stage my next two guests, or should I say my next boo guests. That's right. From CBS Ghost, it's Utkarsh Ambudkar. And you've seen him on NBC's St. Dennis Medical. It's Nico Santos. Woo! Thanks for being here.
Wow.
Come on through. So lovely to see you both. Now, on our show, we have a longstanding segment called The Egg of Truth. That's what this is. And we have searingly revealing questions for our guests to answer. In honor of both of your recent works in Ghosts and St. Dennis Medical, the egg has been morphed and become optimized to promote your current project. So tonight, I bring you a new twist on old classic. It's The Haunted Egg of Truth, MD.
Oh, cool.
A little spooky because it goes.
Yeah, yeah, I like it.
The doctor thing and the ghost thing. Great, great, great. Together, you know?
An egg. Yeah. An egg.
He's opening the egg for everyone listening. Opened the egg. He's unfolded a piece of paper.
It's not a Fabergé egg.
He's going to read it. It's a plastic egg, but it is gold.
It looks like a CBS egg.
Yes, sir.
Let's say you die in a hospital. That's so boring. Where would you want to haunt after you become a ghost if you had the option to choose?
The first thing that popped into my head was a Chick-fil-A.
A Chick-fil-A?
I don't know. I feel like I could do a lot of damage in a Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, but then you're so bored on Sundays.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, maybe I would like make it like the window shake or rattle on a Sunday when people go by. And they'll think it's the wrath of God wanting Chick-fil-A to be open.
Oh, shit.
Or punishment for being homophobic.
Yeah.
That too, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could punish a lot of homophobic people at Chick-fil-A, I think.
Yeah.
Don't you?
No. I wouldn't know. I've never been.
Oh, it's right.
No. Chick-fil-A?
That's Chick-fil-A? How it's pronounced. I've only seen it written. I've never heard it said. I just would never go there. You can't go. And by the way, like you can't probably, unless you would go, you wouldn't know if you get the chicken nuggets in the morning during breakfast time when you can't do that at McDonald's next door on Western. You wouldn't know that.
No.
Because McDonald's doesn't, you can't get nuggets till after they're done with breakfast. But it's like, if you want nuggets, where are you going to go? Maybe you go to Chick-fil-A, but I won't know that because I won't go there.
Which is a shame. You should try it once.
I can't. They're so homophobic.
I know. I understand why you don't.
And I think they addressed it, but not enough to our satisfaction. Right, Nico?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
No. That's why we don't go there.
Nope. I'm like, there's nothing Polynesian about this sauce.
You know what? I don't know. The ranch came from a ranch. So let's do another one. Some people experience deathbed apparitions where they see dead loved ones standing near their hospital bed. Which celebrity would you rather see instead, Nico?
Ooh, Valentino.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's interesting.
Because I'm be like, you know, assess my outfit, make me an outfit when I die.
Oh, that's so good, right?
Make sure that I'm like, you know, fabulous when I fucking die.
Yeah, you gotta look good. You gotta go out looking
He's
good.
He's like, you are wearing rags. You look horrible. Let's put you in something more sparkly. Yeah. See, see, see. Oh, bellissima, bellissima.
That's such a nice idea.
It's the truth.
It's the truth. That's what the Egg of Truth reveals.
There you go.
Maria, do you think it's possible to be haunted by the original owner of a donated organ?
Ooh. Oh, God. Ooh. Yeah. Especially, I think it must be possible. I have never experienced any sort of spiritual and or ghost-like experience. So I have nothing to offer. I'm sorry.
Do you ever do any medical procedures in your own home?
Yes. my father is a dermatologist, so I do know how to remove a skin tag. Let me tell you, you take a piece of sewing thread and you tie it around the root of the tag. You tie it super tight, and so it hurts. And then it puffs up because no blood can come in or out. And then it explodes over, you know, the course of 72 hours or whatever. And then it scabs and then it falls off. So now, guess what? You've just removed a pedunculated lesion.
Oh, yeah.
It's called a pedunculated lesion?
It is called a pedunculated lesion. And I'll be called Dr. Pedunkadunk.
That's going to be my drag name.
Yeah.
Pedunculated lesion.
I like that. all right. What was I going to... Oh, wait. You directed episodes of Ghost this season.
They did. Whoa. Smooth segue, baby.
You don't need that anymore.
No.
You
no
gotta
need.
Keep it moving. You got to keep it moving.
I did.
Speaking of removing... See, this is what you wanted?
Look, I want at least just a little effort.
Sometimes, you know what?
Speaking of a pedunculated...
Sometimes people say being a director is a bit like having to do surgery on an idea.
There we go.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Stanley Kubrick directed The Shining, which was also, in a sense, about ghosts. Did you bring a lot of that? Were you an unbearable monster to your fellow cast members? Did you make anybody cry? Did you make somebody have such a bad experience that they kind of gave up acting? That's what I don't want to start. That's not like a rumor or anything.
You're like,
No. Yeah. You know what? The truth is I had no respect going into it. And the process, I think it remained the same. I don't think the cast or crew really gives a shit what I say.
Oh.
They don't care. They love me for who I am, not for the things I do or my mental capabilities. And I think we just sort of tried to have a good time. Everyone did it. The episode is done. It will go on television. And that's that. I'm in the DGA. Fuck off. That's what it is. I don't know how it went. No one quit.
Hell yeah.
Which is a really great bar to set before you start a job.
How many takes did you take for each take? Some directors will take like two and then they'll move on.
Yeah, I was like two or three and trying to get people home for dinner.
Yeah.
Very, very much. Because that's how I like to work. I like
making dinner. No fun runs?
No fun runs, but that's more of a mandate from on high. No more fun runs, baby.
What's a fun run?
Fun run is improv. Like you do one for you, a little improv. Somebody pretends to do some ghost stuff. Maybe you make up some lines. But it's CBS. It's Viacom. We're working. It's a corporate gig.
Yeah.
We're like, I just am never going to get to direct again after this interview. But
not with that attitude.
We got a huge cast, and we have a lot to get done.
Ooh,
so. Karsh,
you were saying backstage that on set you became like a family.
Yes. But mostly just with my bosses.
Right. And you said you told me backstage that you were open to storylines about how important it is to close
it's
the border,
great.
That kind of thing. Like that's the kind of stuff you're gonna get into the future
and just
seasons.
Jesus, baby.
Yeah, that's right.
There's not a Bible I haven't read. I'll tell you that. I read them all.
And by the way, read them a second time. You'll see new stuff in it. That's what you were telling me about it.
Yep.
About the Bible. Get it. Go through a second time. You'll catch up. You'll now that you know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You see different stuff. You know the twists and stuff.
Yeah. There's a guy named Paul. Did you know that?
Yeah. Yeah. He's one of the big ones.
See.
Yeah.
Speaking of people who observed miracles, you're on a miracle of a comedy called
Yes.
Saint Medical.
Yeah,
a real
gem.
That's great writing.
Now,
that was a fun run.
So,
are you Mariah and I'm Whitney right now, and we're gonna sing Prince of Egypt?
Just two divas, vying for attention. Nico, you're Filipino.
I am Filipino,
and there's a lot of Filipino healthcare workers that are often not represented, but they're represented in the show, and I'm curious what that was like.
It's kind of crazy that 2025 is when the show premiered, and that was the first time people have seen a Filipino nurse on television, which is crazy. Like ER was on for how many years? They had one, I remember. Grey's Anatomy had a Filipino nurse like towards like the late 20s seasons.
Mm.
It's kind of crazy. But once I appeared, and then the Pit has three Filipino healthcare workers. Yeah. All the Filipino community are
woke ER, everybody.
Yeah! Finally!
That's cool.
Representation matters.
And Nico, you used to open for Maria, right?
I opened for Maria a long time ago.
Very, very long time ago.
A long time ago. At the San Francisco Punchline.
And he was a delight then. And he is now. Yeah.
You're a
so
delight.
Great. No.
Truly,
listen,
truly.
Listen.
Did you work at some, at the time, did you work at like a fancy store?
I started doing stand-up in SF while I was doing retail during the day. So I think at the time when I started, when I opened for you, I was still working at Neiman Marcus.
Maria, we were saying, oh, what was it like working with Nico? And you said, he's very funny. He was working at some kind of a fancy store.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I would always go to the open mics or my the comedy club after my shift. So I would be like, in my bougie, like, uniform.
Yeah, he looked gorgeous.
Yeah. It's like Dior suits and everything. And all the straight male comics are like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah.
Like, sorry, I'm not wearing New Balances and a hoodie. But, you know, I try. I make an effort.
No, Ukarsh, you wrote, speaking of dystopian presence,
nice.
You've been working on a spy-fi comic book.
Yeah, I wrote my first comic book.
Spy-fi. Boy, I didn't know that was a term. And then I was like, a lot of what I love is spy-fi.
Yeah.
You know? Andor.
Andor is spy-fi.
I thought you
were saying and-or. And I was like, yes, continue.
Got aliens in your thing?
No aliens, no. It's
but
a
the
spy-fi
future.
Romantic comedy.
Present?
Present
spy-fi
day.
Rom-com?
Yeah.
Wow.
Rom-com.
Does spy-fi mean there's like a James Bond type of character?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thriller.
But he has antennas?
He is not a mutant. No, he's a regular human being. Close. It's called The Guy in the Chair. It was for Dark Horse Comics.
Cool. Ooh.
And the work is coming out on June 16th, which is called a graphic novel, which I hope at least five people in this room know what that is.
Yes. Yeah, we know what it is.
Yeah.
It's cool.
So it's about a guy named Ubby who is... He's the operator for this assassin, and she ends up getting framed by the observatory, which is the big system that runs their company, and she has to come and find him, and they run through the streets together trying to clear her name, and they fall in love while they're doing it.
Do you think that a lot of our problems are because people didn't realize RoboCop was meant to be kind of satire?
I think it's a huge problem with society. And an even bigger problem is that because nobody realized it, they made RoboCops 2 and 3 to actually cater to that audience that had no clue.
It's crazy.
Thus destroying the entire franchise. You know what I mean? It's the Jurassic Park thing, dude.
Yeah, or like how in Starship Troopers, it's like... Come on.
You remember Starship Troopers.
Those bugs. Those,
sure,
those
Casper bugs, Van Dien.
Those bugs, they didn't do anything. Deserve this?
Nope.
Big beautiful bugs?
Jeez.
Big beautiful bugs. Let's read this one for anyone who wants to take it. Hey, what was in it for the ghost that gave Dan Aykroyd that blowjob in Ghostbusters? It's implied but not shown that he finishes. Where does it go? Does it just shoot through the ghost's head?
Some people, whether they're ghosts or not, love giving blowjobs.
True.
But where did the release go? That is the mystery.
Oh, the release?
My theory is that Dan Aykroyd probably, in his age, has some, let's say, nerve damage on his penis. And
at that age?
Sure. Yeah.
A and young that he, and that he, Ray?
He has dry orgasms because
oh,
of nerve
damage. Oh, he's at SSRIs.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. So he finishes spiritually.
Yes.
But not physically.
Yep.
It's kind of like a...
Oh, physically, but there's nothing... Just like dust.
Hey, man.
Speaking of spiritually finishing, we'll be right back.
Woo!
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Quince. A thoughtfully built wardrobe comes down to clothes that mix well and last. That's where Quince shines. Premium fabrics, considered design and everyday essentials that feel effortless to wear and dependable even as the seasons change. Quince has the everyday essentials I love with quality that lasts. Lightweight cashmere sweater, short sleeve Mongolian cashmere polos, linen bottoms and shorts, tees in 100% Pima cotton and European jersey linen. These clothes are versatile and make a wardrobe actually work season to season. Quince works directly with top factories. Cuts out the middleman. You're not paying for brand markup or fancy retail stores, just quality clothing. Their clothing is rated between 4.5 and 5 stars by thousands of people wearing it every day. And they only partner with factories that meet rigorous standards for craftsmanship and ethical production. We love Quince. Love sweats from Quince. I have sheets from Quince. They have great bags. It's a great place to check if you're buying something because they'll often have a better version for less. So right now, go to quince.com/loveit for free shipping and 365-day returns. That's a full year to build your wardrobe and love it. And you will. Now available in Canada, too. Don't keep settling for clothes that don't last. Go to quince.com/loveit for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/loveit. And we're back! It's that time again. The show is nearly over, and I'm beginning to be filled with regret. Or am I? Let's find it out in a segment we're calling Second Thoughts. Oh, here's a second thought. I basically asked Utkarsh if he was a monster, and we have only just met.
I think in retrospect, we could have played that moment, both of us, a little bit better. You know, remember when you asked me about fun runs and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
I could have lied to you.
Yeah.
And told you that we do them all the time.
Right.
I should have done that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And okay. I don't feel like it was on you. I could ask better questions. That's my job.
We shared that moment, bro.
We did.
Yeah. We did it together. You led, but I followed.
Yeah.
And that's on me.
And that's on you. Oh, here's one regret. Did I give the audience new ideas for intrusive thoughts?
Ooh.
You know?
Is
it a bit like The Ring and you've put the video in and I've shown you all
what
happens?
Yeah.
Well, what did you mention?
And it's okay.
Yeah, what did you mention?
Just that every time a phone call drops, I think everybody died.
Oh. Thank you for that.
Gets very vivid, though. It gets very vivid.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I know it's a real intrusive thought, because I'm, like, upset, you know? Oh, yeah. I should regret what I said about Chick-fil-A. No. do I regret not knowing what a fun run was? Okay, again, how many times do I have to tell people I'm not in the business? I don't regret that. Let's see. Oh, do I regret invoking that Jimmy Carter is invoking the idea that his ghost is interested in banging a new broad? No, I don't regret that either. Rhea, do you have any regrets about tonight?
No, I feel very good about what I've done, and you know, and I feel grateful, and it was kind of already in my on my vision board.
I have a regret, Nico. I have a regret. We didn't talk. I'm getting married in a couple months.
Yes, that's right.
And you married a trans person.
I married a trans person.
Any tips?
Buckle up, buddy. Oh boy.
No, I'm not gonna say that. But it is funny that you're sort of like living a parallel existence right now, where we're both. I'm married, and you're gonna marry a trans person. You were in Survivor. My husband was on Survivor. I have ears.
He did so good compared to how I did. They brought him back. That's how good he did.
I know.
For me, they were like, so nice to meet you.
I know. Listen, I don't mean this pejoratively, but you were like the pork chop of Survivor. That's a Drag Race reference for people who didn't get it.
Yeah, which is I take to mean a great person who went home too soon.
Yes, that's exactly
that's
what
I
it
take
is.
It. That's how I take it.
Yeah.
Hmm. I will say, here's a regret that I genuinely do have. I cannot believe what I said about figure skating. They are going to destroy me. The figure skating people they're so intense, the figure skating community on
what
the internet.
What did you say?
I said that I don't believe they can really count how many times people are going around up there. I don't believe it. It's too fast.
That's
3.5.
Bad.
Come on.
I thought you called Alyssa Liu a slur or something, you know?
Oh my God.
Like, yeah. Oh, counting spins. Who fucking
that's
cares?
Where my head went to. Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, glad I didn't do that.
I mean, next
there's still time if you want.
Hey, everybody. Ghosts is on CBS.
Yeah.
Ghosts.
It's so funny. It's scary.
Yeah. Yep.
And your comic book, graphic novel, we're calling it. It says comic book, your graphic novel.
Yeah, same thing.
The Guy in the Chair, available now. And the collected works are coming out in June.
Spy-fi rom-com.
Spy-fi rom-com.
St. Dennis Medical.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah.
So funny. That's our show.
Yeah.
This guy's killing it.
Yeah.
Thanks so much to Maria Bamford, Nico Santos, and Utkarsh Ambudkar. We'll see you next week at Dynasty Typewriter.
Thank you.
226 days until the midterms. Have a great night and have a great weekend. If you're already scrolling endlessly, which we know you are, don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on Instagram, TikTok, and all the other ones for original content, community events, and more. You can also find Love It or Leave It on YouTube for videos of your favorite segments and other YouTube-exclusive content. And if you want to type our praises or rip us a new one, consider dropping us a review. Finally, you can join Crooked's Friends of the Pod subscription community for ad-free Love It or Leave It and Pod Save America episodes, subscriber-exclusive pods, and more. Sign up at crooked.com/friends. Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. It's written in produced by me, John Lovett. Kendra James is our executive producer. Bill McGrath is our producer. Hallie Keeper is our head writer. Sarah Lazarus is our senior staff writer. And Jocelyn Kaufman, Peter Miller, Alan Pierre, and Suba Argwal are our writers. Jordan Cantor is our editor. Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis provide audio support. Stephen Colon is our audio engineer. Our theme song is written and performed by Sure Sure. Thanks to our designer, Sammy Caderna Reeves, for creating and running all of our visuals, which you can't see because this is a podcast. And to our digital producers, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Mia Kelman, Delon Villanueva, Jay Banks, Milo Kim, and Rachel Gajewski for filming and editing video each week so that you can. Love It or Leave It is produced by Lee Eisenberg, and our head of production is Matt DeGroat. And our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East. It's Love It or Leave It.